This is Tuesday, January 3rd, 2012. This is the Taney County Commission. This is that portion of our meeting that is set aside so that we can look at what business will be transpiring during the day and also accept public comment. Dan, you have the minutes, I think.
Yes.
I passed you over. If you'll go through those, I made just a couple of notes on that. Jim, if you'll spend about a half hour to go through accounts payable.
This is not the same as you had there. That's what I was just handed. Oh. Because it's the wrong day.
There you go.
Okay. I think that's all we got.
That's all we got right there. That's all I'll sign. This had transfers on it, which we don't do that. So.
So it's really just this warrant, right?
Just that warrant for Delta Dental, yeah. I had this in my box. Is this something? That's not on the agenda this today, is it?
Don't think so.
I did have that in mind, too. I think it was just a copy of what we talked about
something
last week.
The changes she made, maybe? I haven't looked.
Have we voted on?
Did she bring us?
You ready to make changes on it or not?
I did. I wish we'd had this bill prior to the new year. It'll be an executive session again. Has she brought down any of the petitions?
No. I don't have them. That statute, just so you know, the statute with the library board, I put on the council activity, so Frank will see it for the first time today.
I have it on my list of things also.
Okay.
Morning. Were you wanting to offer some public comment this morning?
Not now, I don't think so, but maybe I should sign up just in case.
Well,
unfortunately, it's first now. Are you going to talk about something that's on the agenda already?
I have to tell you that the only thing I've heard about on the agenda is that the library will not come up. That's
no, they're not scheduled on the agenda today.
They're not scheduled.
The only thing we have are road vacations and then executive session. We're meeting with our council today. So it's really a light day as far as public meetings. If you
are absolutely
here in about 10 minutes, we're going to take public comments. And if you have something that you wish to say, we can give you a few minutes. But during public comment, we don't respond. We just hear. All right. You know, let me suggest, since we have three people, that we not dally.
Well, let's just go ahead and start then.
Yeah. Ron, why didn't we get this?
Hmm?
Why didn't we get this started?
I don't know.
It was submitted for the assessor to pay out his fee. He doesn't want to pay it because it was BOE fee, so he wanted us.
Yeah, but
to
we
pay.
Should have went ahead, or
well, right?
Just
we
just
nothing. I mean, I don't know either. That's
now it's going. Well, we should. Now it's going to come out in 2012. But
right.
That's all right. He's also offered if we need additional legal fees, since he has the budget. So he told me that last week, James.
Okay, I think we're ready on minutes, accounts payable, road vacations. Thank you. Mike's not here right now, and he's at the top of the list. Mr. Burton, if you'd like to join us, your choice of either the podium or sitting at the table, either one will work.
Well, I'm used to teaching 3 hours a day and standing up, so we'll just stand. It's also kind of like a pulpit, so that works pretty good.
You are now on, so if, in fact, you'll give your name, we'll take your comment.
Sam Burton. I own GSI Computer Services and GSI Training Services. What I would like the commission to consider is adopting federal regulations, subchapter C, 49 CFR, to adopt them into your county code and to enforce them here in the county. You have been on the receiving end of an investigation of these same regulations by DOT. I don't know if you're aware of the airport and what happened out there with some selling of some fuel to a business out on the strip, and they were selling like 200 gallons of 100 low lead in a nondescript trailer. Are you aware of that incident?
I'm not. No.
I'm okay. Don't know a thing about it.
And
excuse me. We're supposed to be taking public comments, so really we need to hear from you. And I apologize that I responded.
Well, I just didn't want to tell you stuff you already knew, but they came to me and asked me about the legality of selling that fuel to them. And it was not legal to sell it just in a 200-gallon homemade trailer to take down the strip and fuel their helicopters. When we tried to contact the business, they said they had some special exception. This is a discussion between your airport and this facility. And when they came back to me and asked, and they took their business somewhere else, they started buying the fuel from Branson West. So the airport didn't feel like that was really fair and asked me again to get involved. When I tried to contact them again, there was some language that they expressed that I didn't have any business being concerned about how they bought their fuel. So that's when we made a phone call to MoDOT and to BEMSA out of D.C. And they, in their investigation, because your airport had contacted me, and when they found out that they are operating outside the regulations, they ceased immediately. All the airport got was a letter of warning. I do not know what the outcome of the investigation is to the helicopter company, but they could face fines that would be at least 5-6 figures. What I found, I've lived here since 1984. I've been involved in these regulations since 1991, and all my clients are Fortune 100 companies. I do all the hazmat training for IBM, for Intel, Hewlett Packard, Lexmark, Boeing, Lockheed, Kennedy Space Center, most pharmaceutical companies, and most of the oil industry. So we do have a lot of experience in this, and what I would like the commission to consider is the adopting these regulations and enforcing them here in the county, because there's already been that incident where if that trailer had been rear-ended by some tourist, you had 200 gallons of fuel out there without any indication whatsoever to emergency responders, it could have been catastrophic. People could have lost their lives. You have a lot of industry in this town. You got people like Walmart, Best Buy, Lowe's, Home Depot, and all these people that are currently selling products and materials outside of these regulations, out of compliance. You have an explosives business here in town. There's just a lot of hazmat. I've got clients up in Seattle, Washington, that their hazardous waste ends up in Arkansas. And a lot of that comes right down Highway 65. So at this point, there's really no compliance because there's no enforcement. There's a gentleman in Denver that rented a car. This made national news. Drove from Denver to New York City to pick his targets to blow up. He bought his chemicals from a beauty salon supply store, organic peroxides. And you can very easily make liquid explosives out of that and be used in an act of terror. Many people think that you have to have a large quantity of hazmat to be used in an act of terror, and that is not true. The underwear bomber, the shoe bomber, the kid in South Carolina bought 10 pounds of ammonium nitrate, going to put it with diesel fuel and take it to school and detonate it. It takes one cylinder propane. It is not unusual for entities such as yourself to adopt these regulations. I taught a class in Houston, Texas for Shell Oil. They invited local enforcement because they wanted local enforcement to see what kind of training they got, which the training we provide is better than anything that any enforcement agency gets. Had 12 individuals in that class that were all wearing guns. We made sure that they all passed the class. Four of them were from the Texas DOT, Department of Transportation. Four of them were from the Sheriff's Office, and four of them for two different divisions within the city of Houston that all could enforce these regulations. Two advantages for you doing this. One is just safety, because they're not being enforced. They're not being abided by at this point, and it is a safety issue for the general public. The second thing is it could be a new revenue stream. The least that a person can be fined, the minimum fine, is $250 for not complying with these regulations for just a minor technicality. And it can go up to $250,000 for an individual, up to $500,000 per fine or per violation for a criminal act. Could be a revenue stream. Could be without any new taxes. Could be a tremendous revenue stream. And obviously there's many different ways to set this up as far as how the training could take place. Even as just a public service to the community to make them aware that, hey, there's regulations that need to be complied with that it's not taking place at this point. So two things, safety, and could be a new revenue stream for you that we could establish. You know, there's lots of ways, partnerships. You know, you could do your own thing. And even if you did your own thing and excluded me out of the whole deal, it'd be all right with me because it'd help my business.
Could we have your phone number, Mr. Burton?
Yes, 417-334-7060.
Could you repeat that code you mentioned? Yeah.
Title 49 of the Code of Federal Regulations. Subchapter C.
Okay, subchapter C.
And you'll note in the cover of this book that we have, that's one of the first things we did when we got in business in 1991, is we reprint and republish federal regulations. Because we do it in such a way that, I tell people that I'm a hillbilly and I try to make these regulations simple enough for me to understand it. And if I can understand them, then we go out there and try to help other people to understand. That's what we do since 91. We do a lot of consulting also when people have gotten themselves in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Intel, Tyco International, Abbott Laboratories, Fisher Scientific. Do a lot of work. In fact, Sunday I go down to the Dominican Republic for a week, which I'm not really looking forward to. It's where the business takes me.
Thank you,
Mr. Burton.
Go.
Mike Britton, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, gentlemen, for allowing me to come before you. I'm here today representing Show Me Fiber and my youngest son, Josh. Josh is on an endeavor to start a bagging operation whereby we can give a value-added service to a product that's leaving here in bulk form almost on a daily basis. I'm sure most of you are aware that our community and our county's been blessed with aromatic cedar, which has been a livelihood of many folk in this part of the country in my lifetime. And we're shipping the waste goods of that and byproduct of that out of this county in bulk loads at least weekly, if not on a daily basis. And because of the history that I've had in that industry, such as we were in the export business for aromatic cedar for many years. I worked for Green Force Products for several years, and we brought them to be the largest wood waste recycler in the Midwest. And one of those products was aromatic cedar mulch. If we can take the aromatic cedar mulch that's leaving here in bulk form, put it in a plastic bag. I work for a company now in Milwaukee where cedar mulch is very popular. I sell fertilizer to distribution companies for the horticulture industry, which also consumes this particular bag product.
I have literally tons of cedar malt sold if they can get it in a form whereby they can resell it, which would be in the bag. And in an endeavor, I've visited with Cy Murray and yesterday with Leon Combs, and if my understanding is correct, that this, what we're trying to do is a hand-in-glove qualification for a community development assistance. And we are in an attempt to travel that direction. And I also understand that the county in times past has been held in reserve to assist in those sort of things. And what I'm here today for is to talk to the county about the assistance in a grant writing program whereby we can get a low or no interest loan to start this bagging operation. The I'm not exactly aware of how much the grant cost, depending on who the grant writer is, but I have visited with the county or a lady in Florida that has written grants for the county by the name of Barbara Boley, and she has said that her cost is $4,500. We're here with hat in hand to say if the county could step up and help us with the grant, we fully believe that capital improvements to the property where we are and the income off of this would quickly return the county with a substantial interest on that $4,500 investment. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be, if it were legal, I'd be glad to say within a year we'll be glad to give you that money back, if at all possible, if there's a way we can do that. But we're here with hat in hand to say we can add 5 to 8 jobs to the Bradleyville area, depending on the season. It takes 5 men, skeleton crew, and in season, 8 employees, which, according to Mr. Combs yesterday, that's an increase of 20 to 25% of the workforce of the whole area. We can add $500,000 to $600,000 of added revenue to the eastern part of the county by selling this product out of state, bringing that northern money directly into eastern Taney County. And I would like to, if you have any questions in regard to this, I'd like to be able to answer those questions to see if we could work toward the same endeavor of putting lots of folks to work and selling a product that's a waste product and have it in a position where we can sell it as a premium product.
Mike, can you give us your number, phone number?
417-263-0993. And that's my cell phone, and it's available at any time. Now, with that said, you understand that in the Bradleyville area, it's a lot of up and down. Sometimes my phone rings when I don't get to hear it. One thing I would like to add, I don't know whether Judge Strophus is a landowner, but I know Danny is and Ron's familiar with it. One direction this is headed that probably is more important than a lot of people would think. I speculate within 5 years when we're doing this, our demand for raw material will exceed our waste. And I can see very easily that people in this county adopting a system that they use now in the east, whereby when they cut the cedar off the land, they cut the tree, drag it out with a skidder, which wipes the ground clean. They take the trees out to a common area, they trim all the trees there, and then the waste company comes in and picks up all that debris and grinds it and sells that as well. And what it does for the landowner, it's got clean ground. As soon as the cedar cutters are finished, he just goes in there and sows grass seed right on that bare ground that the cedar trees have swept clean. And that is absolutely one of the neatest systems that you'll ever see. It helps the landowner. It gets the cedar on the ground cheaper because the landowner lets them have it cheaper. And it adds a lot of revenue to the communities because all those cedar tops and limbs that they trim off there are now a valued product. I don't have $500,000 to go buy a Vermeer grinder right now, but I could see in the near future, I would speculate within 5 years, that we'll probably be doing that. That has more interest probably than selling the cedar slabs as mulch. The fact that we could get all the debris off the ground and sell that, you have no idea how many millions of dollars we leave in the woods laying on the ground today. Right. That could be ground up and utilized. Mm-hmm. That's part of the direction that this is headed. Now, I'm not ready to do that today because it just costs too much money, and Josh isn't that big yet. But I can see it's going to happen. Somebody, if I don't do it, somebody will. Or if he don't do it, somebody will. We've had a pretty good track record with the cedar and wood fiber industry. As you probably know, we started Show Me Fiber, it'll soon be 6 years ago, where we take the cedar sawdust that's been going under chickens and turkeys for years and turn that into a premium product. And we're bouncing on our 1,000th, we're getting close to the 1,000th load of cedar sawdust that's left Taney County since we started Show Me Fiber at the old cheese plant.
Wow.
That's my presentations. I'd like to answer any questions if you have any.
Mike, during public comment, we don't take
okay.
or ask questions. If we have you on the agenda, then we can
go
back and forth. This is just that time that gives the public an opportunity to offer comments. We will chat about your comments, however.
And thank you very much, and I appreciate the value of your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mike. Roxanne? Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. I did the freeze step when I went out to walk this morning, so I'm ahead of the game already.
It's a little chilly to be walking this morning, wasn't it?
There's no such thing as bad weather, just bad clothing. So if you dress for it, you can get away with almost any weather. As I say, I expected some discussion on the library board this morning in your session, but since that's not how it turned out, I want to add a couple of things to the information that I offered the last time we met for the study session as a board. I don't speak for the board, but I certainly can tell you some of the things that I've learned in the course of my researches. The question of the economic benefits of having a county library system, I thought I had thought of everything that was obvious about what having a county library system would do for Taney County, but I did not mention jobs. One of the reasons why we feel so such an urgent need to get the system up and running is that the existing facilities, the three in Forsyth, Branson, and Rockaway Beach, are running out of volunteers, and they are staffed almost entirely by volunteers. And one of the first things that we will do if and when the library gets in place, and I'm feeling like that's a when, not an if now, because we are getting such good feedback from the people we've talked to about it, is that we're going to hire some people so we can extend the hours of the existing facilities. And there will, we have in mind some other ways of delivering services that will also require some people to do jobs. If we had a bookmobile system in the Taney County Library District, there would be a job for a chauffeur and someone to load and unload that vehicle and deliver the material to whatever locations are outside the existing facilities. And we're hoping to do some what we call satellite libraries that will be placed in community centers or, I don't know, that they're used around the country in lots of different places that have foot traffic for another reason. The Recplex draws people from all over Taney County. If we had a situation out there where the equipment's already designed and in use in lots of places, even nearby here, there are lock boxes, like the lockers on the wall almost, and you could a library user could call in to the central location or any of the branches of the library system, ask for a book to be delivered to the satellite place closest to their home or most convenient for them, as the Recplex would be, for instance, or as There are some counties that have combined with a local school system to set up a satellite on school premises. Whether that would work here, I don't know, but it's one of the things other people have done. And the books are delivered by not necessarily a bookmobile, but some kind of vehicle, placed in one of these lock boxes that is keyed. The person who makes the reservation gets a barcoded slip that they take. They get a notice that their book has been delivered to that location, and they take their barcoded piece of paper out there, run it through a scanner, and their box pops open, and they can pick up their box while they're at the recplex or while they're at the school or while they're at the, I don't know, some places even found a way to partner with post offices. So now that post offices are closing, that may be less of an opportunity than it used to be. But those are the kinds of things that need people. You don't have to have a full-time staff person at each of those locations, but you got to have somebody to deliver books and pick them up. And there will be technical jobs for people who, the new staffers we would hope to add to the existing facilities and to the county's resources. We hope we'll be able to find librarians with enough technical training that we can offer real opportunities to learn technical skills at the library, even if it's only how to get your email out of the internet. That's something that a lot of people don't know how to do, aren't confident doing, could get free lessons in how to do that. And that means we're going to need librarians who have that skill. And of course, if we have bigger collections, more different kinds of collections, we'll need more people, maybe, just to handle the traffic of checking things in and out. We will certainly need administrative staff to a certain extent. We don't anticipate that being a big group of people, but there has to be, by the statutes, an administrator who is a certified librarian, and that one person cannot manage, oversee the day-to-day operations of even the three locations, if all three of those were part of the system. Those three locations that we have now would need oversight that the board itself is not tasked to do, not supposed to be doing. That administrator's job is to keep everything running smoothly out there. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention as something that we, oops, forgot to put in our document about the economic benefits of having the system. And of course, there's the passing it forward of those skills to people that will generate people who can go and get a job somewhere else doing electronic computer-based stuff. And all of the new databases that we told you about include job search capabilities that we don't have available in the county now. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry I forgot to tell you that before, but it is important. It does matter. It's real dollars. It's real jobs. And they will, we hope, be soon, once you get legal questions answered and give the citizens a chance to vote on this library system. I think that levy is going to be passed, and we can begin to generate some of these good things that we have in the pipeline if we can get the system up and running. So I thank you for your time and your careful attention to this topic. We're eagerly looking forward to getting started on the real thing once we get that levy passed. Thanks.
Thank you, Roxanne.
Thank you.
You better hurry.
Otherwise, I'll do it.
This way. I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Taney County Commission this Tuesday, January 3rd, 2012. Call upon Commissioner Straffus to open with a prayer.
Please stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and, Father, for this new year. Father, you are good to us that we made it through 2011, Father, and we just ask for your continued protection over each and every one of these the people in this county and this country, Father. We thank you that you are faithful and you are good to us, Father. And we just ask for the wisdom and discernment as we conduct business today, not just for this county, but for the other counties in this country, Father, that we hear from you and get the direction needed to take this county in the right direction, Father. We ask you to watch over all of our military personnel serving locally and abroad, Father, that you protect them and keep them safe and comfort their families as they were separated for the holiday. And Father, we just thank you for all the good things you do for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Mr. Strahan, if you'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First order of business is previous meeting minutes.
Motion to approve December 27th, December 22nd meeting minutes with corrections and changes.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve prior commission minutes dated 12/22 and 12/27 with corrections and changes. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Accounts payable, journal entries, and transfers.
Motion to approve accounts payable warrants 5553.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve warrant number 5553. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
There are no transfers or journal entries.
Did you want that put in that big plastic tub?
Sure.
Here, this goes with that.
Give me that.
Do I sign this as well, Ellen?
They stamp it, but you can sign it. Since you have it, there's just so many of them.
Road vacations. Is our counsel?
He's outside on the road.
Can we get him? Good morning. How are you, sir? Good. Happy New Year.
You and it.
Our first vacation that I see this morning is for Lakeside East Subdivision. Frank, can you join us at the microphone?
If I may,
okay,
make some suggestions that I think will move the process along a little quicker. As I read the statutes that control this particular petition, what happens today is that the petitioners read the petition, and no further action is then taken until the next term. it apparently being the idea that in the interim, anyone who wants to lodge a remonstrance may do so. The statute is an old statute, but it does call for the reading of the petition. I've been conferring with counsel out in the hallway because we're not used to reading our own stuff out loud, I guess.
Makes
one thing,
nervous.
However, I think would help, and in this day and age would help, I think, avoid mistakes, is when counsel who's going to read the petition, I believe, reaches the legal description, if he can simply refer to it by reference, incorporate by reference, rather than reading, attempting to read it word by word, I think that that will help keep the record clear. And so I'd suggest, it's up to you all, but I'd suggest that you permit that.
I got a question.
Go ahead.
In the past, that's not the way that we've done that, and I'm not saying that it's one way or the other. You're interpreting this one way or the other. You've been before us with road vacations before, but there's a posting that takes place.
We've posted.
Right. And that posting of is it 14 or days or there's
20.
A time frame, 20 days. In that posting of that time frame, the purpose for the posting is for a remonstrance to be formed. And at that time, when presented for the public, as we have a public hearing, for the public to come forward with the opposition to the road vacation being closed, which has happened here in this room. So if this new, and I'm not saying it's new to the law because you said it's an old law, but if it's something different, I would like to understand that a little bit better as far as waiting for a quarter to...
I'd like to do it today, but Frank...
Right, but here, and that's what I understand because there are circumstances. I always like to consider government customer-friendly, and there are circumstances where people might have a particular piece of ground sold, or there might be limitations to what they can get done with this piece of property that needs to take place. And so we, if there's any way that, if this has been posted and that you can find, if there's any way that we can get this done today, I would like to see it done today. I'm listening to Mr. Ciccotti, who I have the greatest respect for on what he's saying, but I don't understand the difference between the 20-day posting. What good it would do you to do that 20-day posting if the remonstrance was going to be for next quarter.
Right.
Question. I wonder if the section of statute you're referring to is something new because years ago, and I agree with Dan, petitions for vacation were handled differently. However, as I look at the very first section of 228.110, it clearly states that it will be read and then held over to the next term, which is surprising to me.
Me too.
But that is what it says. I'm sorry, what?
There are two different statutes that you can use.
Well, 228 is the most common. The other, I think, is either in 73 or 74 for subdivisions.
It was repealed. That was the faster way to do it. You could get it done in about 30 days. That was repealed last year.
Well, then that answers what I'm
looking for. Those two statutes were repealed.
The easy one was.
Danny, I'm going to have Jim read that, if he will, just that first section.
All right,
228.110. Any 12 residents of the township or townships through which a road runs may make application for the vacation of any such road or part of the same as useless. In the repairing of the same and in reasonable burden upon the district or districts, the petition shall be publicly read on the first day of the term at which it is presented, and the matter continued without further proceedings until the next term.
Goes to show you how much I know about it.
Well, that made too much sense.
I mean, that was less than two sentences. So,
unless there are further questions, I would suggest that we comply with that statute unless we find something different and have you read said petition.
Let me tell the commissioners the background on.
Would you give your name for the record, sir?
Sorry, Brian Wade, and I'm here on behalf of Blue Green Big Cedar Vacations the petitioner moving to vacate three roadways, which actually they were platted subdivisions within the 109-acre development of Blue Green Big Cedar, but they were, these roads were never built. So they're not roads, but they're shown on a plat. And actually, one of them is a cul-de-sac. So, and the three roads that we are petitioning the County Commission to vacate are all of Hillcrest Court and Lakeside East Subdivision as per the recorded plat thereof, Book 14 at page 50, Taney County Recorder's Office, Taney County, Missouri, which is a, there's a legal description attached to the petition for that Hillcrest Court. Then we are also petitioning the Commission to vacate Hillcrest Drive as per the recorded plat thereof, Book 14 at page 50, Taney County Recorder's Office, Taney County, Missouri. And all of Oakcrest Lane in Lakeside East Subdivision as per the recorded plat, Book 14 at page 50, Taney County Recorder's Office, Taney County, Missouri. Those, the petition was filed with the Commission in December. The notices of this hearing date were published in three places, and there's an affidavit that's been filed with this commission identifying the publication. There are no neighbors adjacent to these properties, so there was no personal service made of the petition because no one lives near these roads. Well, there aren't any roads, but no one lives near them, and the property is owned by the petitioner on both sides of these roads that we're proposing they be vacated. And if these roads are vacated, the petitioner will then move forward with its building permit, well, application for building permit to build the development that was approved by the Planning Commission in 2009. Thank you.
I would suggest that we have a motion to continue this until the next term, at which time it will be posted for decision. Would that be correct?
I think the commission should call for any objections to the proposed petition, and then, Frank, would the record then be closed, and then the county commission would then deliberate and make a determination on entering the judgment the following term?
I think that the deliberations would take place at the following term, okay, based upon what takes place in the interim. If there's a remonstrance,
right,
filed by anybody, then they'll take it up. Otherwise, you can, whatever you do, you deal with whatever hand of cards you have at the next one, I guess, is the best way.
And we've submitted a proposed judgment for the county to for the next term.
Did you take one?
Reposted.
According to statute, reposted.
Is all we did is repost. We don't have to do anything.
Well, you want to make the motion according to your statute.
Well, I mean, there's.
We can do it either way. We can either make a motion or we can just continue this matter, and it will be reposted. Either way, it'll be open for remonstrances to be filed during that time, as I understand it. Is that right, Mr. Cotting?
Yeah. Yes, sir. And as I read this statute, the notices that it requires refer to notices prior to this next one. So although you posted notices today, I question whether or not that meets the requirement of the statute for posting prior to the next term.
Do you think it needs to be posted yet?
I think so. But I can, subject to correction, you think I'm wrong. And Brian, if you wouldn't mind,
yeah, it does.
So
in the next term.
Turn, if you would give me a copy,
you have to repost it.
I'll look over it and then.
Yeah. It does say you have to repost it.
First Monday in April. And it clearly states at least 20 days before the first day of the next term.
That would be.
I'd say the first week of March would cover that.
First one. Monday of April is the second.
Would the, well, can I speak to this?
Absolutely.
With what we've just dealt with, I think it would be good of this commission to have a written notice put in the paper of the change of the statutes if we're going to be going through this on a regular basis, which it happens throughout the year, and have the conditions listed in the paper so that people will know that they have the opportunity afterward, that they have to present before the commission, and they have to wait till the next quarter. If I was trying to do this, I would appreciate knowing exactly how to go through it. I know that we recommend an attorney for each of these things to take place, but it would be very helpful to the public if they decided to do something like this, that they had some idea about how to go about it.
Yeah, Commissioner, I agree with you. I would also note that the statute requires what it requires, which is people are going to have to be here twice anyway. This, although maybe the expectations of what would be completed today were different than what can actually be done, as a practical matter under the statute, whoever was here today was going to have to be here whether it's done today or done next time.
Right.
In other words, you're going to have the people present twice instead of once. And that's the requirement of Missouri law.
Right, and I appreciate that. I'm just saying that I just think it would be nice if the public had some idea if they had a... All over this county, we have tracts of land, just like you have proposed here, that have been platted, same owner, on both sides of the road, and as we well know, I don't guess there's been any change in that law, that half whatever property is to be vacated goes to one side of the owner, half of it goes to the other side of the owner. If they be the same, well, then you have no remonstrance usually. So I just think it would be good for the public to know now. So if you get some road ethical, I think that's what we need to do.
As we do that, Danny, I think it would be good, as Nikki, if you could print that statute out and then maybe just write a couple-step process. People a lot of times contact the commission office before they go through the process and then say, well, how do we do this? We may want to just create a packet. I know we have a packet just update with this statute and some steps and timelines. That way they can, and then if it's good like that, then we can post it in the paper.
This is my first exposure to this statute, so bear with me if I'm telling you all something you already know. But may I suggest that the record at least reflect the reading of the petition so there's no question later on
right.
that was done.
She got it. She
next vacation is that Ozarks Paradise Village?
Correct. Morning, Commissioners.
Morning.
Yep. My name's Charles Green. I'm here representing American Sportsman Holding Company and two married couples by the names of Michael Dwayne Parker, Christy Lee Parker, husband and wife, and Kevin L. Burroughs and Jill Burroughs, husband and wife. I'm here with regard to a petition that was filed with the commission on the 2nd of December regarding the vacation of 15 similar roads that were platted. So I know all of them were platted. I don't know if all of them, I do not believe all of them were built. I believe some of them were, but maybe not completely. My clients own, like Mr. Wade, I'm kind of piggybacking on his, same statute, own on both sides of the road. There's proposed development throughout this area, so we're trying to vacate those roads. The statute in question, which we've been discussing, requires public notice be posted and personal service upon property owners whose lands are crossed or touched by the roads proposed to be vacated. And we have filed with the commission proof by affidavit of a public posting as well as personal service. but I guess public reading. I'm going to have to go ahead and read them. The 15. So the 15 roads in question are a portion of Spruce Drive in Ozarks Paradise Village, south of Mission, where the recorded plat thereof, Taney County, Missouri. A portion of Walnut Drive, Ozarks Paradise Village, south addition, per the recorded plat thereof, Taney County, Missouri. Cypress, in Ozarks Paradise Village, south addition, per the recorded plat thereof, Taney County, Missouri. A portion of Canyon Drive, Ozarks Paradise Village, per the recorded plat thereof, Taney County, Missouri. Ranch Circle, in Ozarks Paradise Village, per the recorded plat thereof, Taney County, Missouri. And in each instance, attached to the petition is a more detailed description, as Exhibit A, of each of these roads. Elbow Court in Ozarks Paradise Village, per the recorded plat thereof, Taney County, Missouri. Cove Circle, excuse me, in Ozarks Paradise Village, per the recorded plat thereof, Taney County, Missouri. Antler, Ozarks Paradise Village, per the recorded plat thereof, Taney County, Missouri. A portion of Cove Drive, Ozarks Paradise Village, per the recorded plat thereof, Taney County, Missouri. A portion of Ravine Drive, Ozarks Paradise Village, per the recorded plat thereof, Taney County, Missouri. Mesa Drive, Ozarks Paradise Village, East Edition, per the recorded plat thereof, Taney County, Missouri. A portion of Ledge Drive, Ozarks Paradise Village, East Edition, per the recorded plat thereof, Taney County, Missouri. Summit Drive, Ozarks Paradise Village, East Edition, per the recorded plat thereof, Taney County, Missouri. Scenic Crest, Ozarks Paradise Village, East Edition, per the recorded plat thereof, Taney County, Missouri. Rock Road, Ozarks Paradise Village, East Edition, per the recorded plat thereof, Taney County, Missouri. Like I said, my clients, American Sportsman Holdings Company, Michael Dwayne Parker, Christy Lee Parker, Kevin L. Burroughs, and Jill Burroughs own the land on both sides of these platted roads proposed to be vacated. The descriptions of the roads are more particularly described in Exhibit A attached to the petition. Like Mr. Wade's petition, there's been an affidavit filed showing proof of the posting. And also attached to my petition as Exhibit C, is a consent to vacate and close roads signed by Oakmont Community Improvement Association, who's the declarant under the declarations that are applicable to this property. And I've also filed the return of service for the proof of service on the individuals who own land touching or crossing the roads to be vacated. Brian, did you just talk to Frank about the posting?
Yeah, he didn't know. It's okay. 228, subpart 2 says, notice of the filing of such petition and of the road sought to be vacated shall be posted up in not less than 3 public places in such township or townships at least 20 days before the first day of the next term of the commission. So we talked about whether or not we need to repost before your next term, mm-hmm. and I interpret that to mean
that you've already posted.
You've already posted, so there shouldn't be any need for another posting. But since this is kind of a new process here for the statute, I want to do what the commission wants me to do. I will repost it if the commission wants me to. I think the first posting.
We're going to let council answer that question. If you'll take another look at that, it certainly makes sense that if it's been posted once, it needn't be posted a second time. At least to me.
You think it should be posted?
We're going to let council answer that question. I'm also concerned that we need to make sure that all the residents that have signed are residents, because that's a requirement of the statute as well. In years past, we always had additional signatures just in case, but go right ahead, sir. Are you?
I believe I'm finished.
I've got a question, as always.
Go ahead.
Okay.
None. For Mr. Wade and yourself, I would like to know if any of these roads that he stated before that there were platted roads not in use. You said that you thought some of these had been built, some of these roads?
That's my understanding.
Okay. And that's the reason I wanted Mr. Hayes here, is because he can review those roads for us. But one thing that I wanted to ask is, are any of these through roads to other major roads? And if they are, then there's some concern about whether they might be something that, even though they're owned by the same owner, that someone in front or someone that's behind that same ownership across might be involved. So I don't know. I'm just asking, and I would ask that Randy research that for us. If the ones that are built, that's what I'm interested in. Somebody might.
My roads are not built. Now, I will be coming back to you with another road that has been built that connects in between, but that's not.
Yeah. So that's, you can see where my interest is there. So.
Throughout my petition, you'll see a portion, in several instances, you'll see a portion of. So let's say there are 100 lots on each side, and my client owns 1 through 98, but not 99 or 100 on either side, because there may be a home there that uses that road. But that road, that portion of that road, is not proposed to be vacated, nor is its artery. So I don't think it will affect access.
I would suggest that we enter into the record that the petition has been read, that portion of the statute has been complied with, and that we continue this to the next term.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Powell Road.
Please, the commission. Justin W. Rowling and Hannah B. Rowling have filed a petition to vacate a segment of a road pursuant to section 71.270 RISMO. The petition is further identified as being made by Justin W. Rowling and Hannah B. Rowling. Mrs. Rowling is here in person, as is Deb Mundell, who's the mother of Justin Rowling, to present that petition on behalf of Mr. and Mrs. Rowling. This is a piece of property that runs adjacent to Powell Road as it has been built. They simply asked that the county vacate that portion of road that was originally designed to be used for the road but has not been used for that purpose. I reviewed their petition, and I find it in proper order.
I think we're very familiar with the Powell Road.
Probably. It's a seven-year process.
Do you need to read the petition?
No, sir.
Go ahead.
The section under which we're proceeding is 71.270. The requirements are radically different than those for vacating a road with an intention. So, no, there is no need to read that.
Frank, is that the statute that was repealed, that we just heard it was repealed?
This is 71.270. I'm not sure which one he was talking about being repealed.
He said 73 or 74.
Well, I'm the one that said 73, and I was trying to do that from
71 point what?
270.
Question. Under the statute, can we proceed to vacate this today?
Yes, sir.
This is, as I understand it, although having not been here, that this has been hanging around for a long time. Would one of you gentlemen like to make a motion regarding this petition?
I'd like to ask a question about it. I'm fine with the vacation of this part of the road. The other portions of the road that need to be vacated, they're not brought forward today on Powell Road.
No. By way of background, a letter was sent out to all of those people along Powell Road who had been identified as folks to whom the county could vacate unused road portions. We received a response on behalf of Mr. and Mrs. Rawlings. We received a response on behalf of another owner, Baytom Corporation, who also expressed an interest in seeking a vacation. That paperwork we anticipate will be presented at the next term. So those two owners indicated an interest in seeking a vacation of the property. We also received a response from Ms. Helen Snow, who's one of the landowners out there, and she has no interest in pursuing a petition for vacation at this time. And we received a response from one other owner, whose name I don't have in front of me, who now lives out in Connecticut and is interested in pursuing it, but she wants to present it at the next term.
Sandy Stoppler.
Thank you, pardon?
Sandy Stoppler.
Yes. She lives in Connecticut. I know from talking on the phone she has small children, and it would just be easier for her to come back this spring to present her petition. We've also had an interest expressed by two owners, Mr. and Mrs. Plummer, who are not entitled to have any property vacated to them, but who are planning to deed their interest in the land on which the road actually rests to the county. So that's the status. And we've had no response from the remaining dozen or so people to whom we sent the letter to see if they had an interest in seeking a vacation portions of the plan.
Okay. What position does that put us in, Frank, if certain people want to vacate property and other people don't want to vacate property? As we go down a road and we have people that want to vacate the certain area, are we going to end up with a portion of county squared off here and somebody vacation, portion of county squared off in the next 100 yards or quarter mile section or however? I know that they have been through a long, extensive process, and that's what aggravates me about the government sometimes and the being able to get this stuff done. And I'm willing to go ahead and vacate. I know that the Plumbers have a personal transaction that they're trying to do with, you named it, I know them as the owners of Smoke Tree Hills. So
that's Baycorp.
Baycorp. But anyway, I have no problem with any of this issue other than I don't want to vacate some property that you've mentioned, and you said you had one lady that wasn't interested and one that was and this and that, so I don't know how that's going to end up with the county's possession of a roadway. Okay. I'll make a motion that we accept the vacation according to statute, whichever one you use. I want to make sure that that's on the record.
71-270.
71-270. That's my motion.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve the petition as presented pursuant to section 71.270. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
So that means it's all done, right?
Well. No.
No. Okay.
As far as you're concerned, I believe it is.
Okay.
If the commission would like, I'll prepare a formal order reflecting that the petition to vacate has been granted and submitted to you all for appropriate signature.
That sounds great.
Okay. Then we're our part is complete.
Yes. We'll get you a copy.
It will
have to be recorded.
Okay.
And usually the
What's
the cost of the recording?
Okay, in this case, I believe,
unless
yeah.
they deem different. Now, if the county wants to pay for it, that's fine.
This has been voted on, and that is the case in this particular case.
So when we move forward, Frank, let's work with Nikki, and we're going to record this.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ladies.
Karen? Do you want a motion?
I'm going to ask Nikki if she has something else. And then
agenda review.
Nikki, is there anything else we have before executive session that you're aware of?
Motion to go into executive session pursuant 610.21.1, 2, 3, and 12.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to go into executive session pursuant to 610.021 subsections 1, 2, 3, and 12. Perfect. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Jim, aye.
Ron,
Danny,
aye.
Danny, aye.
Motion carries.